Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Shalom. Welcome. Bruchim Abaim. What's the first thing that I'd like to see open? That I'd like to see it available again? Free of any confinement, free of any masks, literally or figuratively. Before I say the word, I can hear the sound of its waves rushing ashore. I smell its scent as it fills my lungs. I hear the seagulls flying and talking. My skin shivers. The ocean is waiting. Waiting to carry me into the deep. הריני מקבל על עצמי את מצוות עשה של ואהבת לרעך כמוך. I hereby accept to myself the due commandment to the utterance of love your friend, your neighbor, your partner, your gardener, in the same way that you express love to yourself. And the focus is first on love to yourself, to ourselves. Welcome, I'm Ilan Azulay. Welcome to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak. Abracadabra in Aramaic is literally, I create as I speak. And we create what we speak every day. Whether we are aware of it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not, we are creating. And we are creating many times from the situations that we are in. But it's not the situations that dictate our choice. It is the place that we inhabit within ourselves that dictate the choice and the environment that we are creating. So wonderful to be with you today. I'm your host. I'm a spiritual mentor, a sound therapist for you who are ready to reclaim your power, to find this spark again, to remember that spark, that defies all confinements, that takes you away, that takes you flying through everything that appears to be obstructing. But the only obstructing thing many times is us. For me, for example, I think a lot. So by doing things gets me out of my procrastination into things. And what a better time now that we are in this coronic situation. We are in this coronic situation where we are forced, so to speak, we are forced into a place of inside, of not going out, of finding the jewels that have been hiding all the time because we all the time pushed it away. Let's take another minute before we get to what we need to get to. Let's push it a little. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do that. I have one more thing to accomplish, one more thing to achieve. And we push it and we push it. Why? External stimulation. Everything stimulates. Everything stimulates. And now that we are here, now that we are here to look inside and nothing from the outside stimulates us, suddenly it's like, it can be very scary if all that we believed is our might, what we can do, what the outside can give me, what I can get, instead of looking from the inside, because there is the well of joy, well of everything. And sometimes we get stuck in the ways in between. So we are in this time, in this corona time, and many things come up. Many things come up as after the initial shock, after the initial shock of what is happening. We're starting to ask questions of after, of what will happen when this will come to pass. And so it's interesting. It's interesting to see how these things are intertwined within our daily lives. How choices that we made prior to this confinement actually served us very nice. And so many times we do things and we know we have to do that, although we don't have a really logical explanation. It doesn't mean it's not logical. It just means that we may not have the tools to understand it yet. And then when we go through the experience, when we go through an experience of actually experiencing the contraction, experiencing this place that we are forced to be in, then we are experiencing that which we already decided upon. And then the experience is complete. And so with that said, I would like to introduce my wonderful guest. She's here. You know, it's fun. It's wonderful. We can be everywhere and we can see all the people. And so we have Miri Menkin. Hi,
thanks,
Miri.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here, Miri. Thank you. I'm excited. I'm looking that I got your message. Yeah, I did get your message. And Miri is, first of all, a mother. It is very important for me to say that. She is, first of all, a mother, like many of you, not us, because I'm not, a yogi and a graphic designer. And she has so much to share. And one of the decisions that I've heard from you is about your choice to do before the corona with your children. But first, hi, Miri, how are you? Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's really nice to be here. This is a nice distraction from the corona, what did you call it?
The coronic situation.
It's definitely a nice change in my uneventful routine. So, yeah. Practically speaking, I'm good. Things are in order. Everyone's at their posts.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And everybody is, thank God, healthy and well. Thank you. Thank God. Wonderful. So Miri, you're also here in LA. It's funny because we're having this this conversation over this medium, but it's interesting because I feel it pushes us to understand people in a different way and to understand ourselves in different ways. And so tell us about your experience, your journey. Tell us about with your family. I mean, you told me great things with your family, but tell me about you.
So, I kind of feel like I've done a big circle in being in LA right now, because I'm originally from the Bay Area, originally San Francisco. And I was telling you yesterday that growing up, I felt like a minority. There were not maybe a couple other Jewish kids that I knew of. And it took time for me to realize I wanted to be in a community with many more Jewish people. So I went to college in Southern California, loved that. School for me was very difficult. I just had a hard time concentrating. And that is where a big part of why I decided to homeschool my kids. Going to college was great because college was my choice. I realized then that I could just take classes on graphic design, which I loved. It was practical. It was creative. At the time it was, a very good way to combine art and business and be employed. And, so after that I went to New York and, was so glad I went to New York and lived there 11 years and had a very challenging and satisfying life and career and discovered yoga.
That's where you met your husband as well, right?
That's where I met my husband, Danny Menkin, who would love to be on your show at some point. And he's doing a live Zoom talk right now, or else we would be together.
Yes. Danny is a producer and a filmmaker, right?
Right. But you'll have him in.
Yeah, we'll have him as well, and maybe we'll have both. Yeah, that'll be great. So your passion actually, although you were in graphic design, but you went to school for what?
I went to school for graphic design.
You went to school for graphic design. And yeah. So that was your passion. And was that something that you saw yourself doing? I mean, what changed away from that? What took you away from that?
What took me away from that? That's a great question. What took me away from that was, I think, finally admitting to myself that I wanted to get married. There was something about me that felt like I wanted to do everything on my own, very independent. And I started to, you know, like, actually I had a moment where I think I had friends, we discussed it, and we started to talk about how we put things out to the universe, mm-hmm. then they'll come.
That's right.
So I had a really sweet and kind of comical moment with a friend of mine, Alice Corey, who I know from New York and my job for many years at L'Oreal in New York. We went into a supply closet and we prayed, and she said, "You want to pray with me?" And we prayed. And from that moment on, I started to kind of visualize what I want. She gave me this great tip, and I just wrote, she gave me this advice, write as detailed as you possibly can on what you're looking for. And it applies, I believe, to anything. But at the time, I was happy with my career. I had a great social life. I found yoga. But I wasn't at a point where I felt like I was meeting the right, I wasn't in a position where I was inviting the right kind of
energy
to bring a partner, yeah. You know, a romantic partner. So I give credit to finding yoga, opening myself up to the universe and like realizing what I'm looking for. Yeah.
And opening to you, you know.
What?
That's the opening to you. That's the universe. You know, in Judaism, the person is considered to be the world, a replica of the world. You know, the places where our organs are, the distances in relation are like the galaxies. You know, it's like, it's interesting. I did some work with Harvard while they were investigating that. But aside from that, the prayer, you mentioned prayer. And that's interesting how sometimes we pray. You know, sometimes when we talk about prayer, we're saying, "Oh, I need something." You know, many times when prayer is being performed, it's because we need something. So we're going to pray for something that we need or we want. You know, but prayer is actually a connection. So what you did, you're actually starting, or you started like a wheel. You started a one wheel that will turn another wheel that will turn another wheel, like a jigsaw wheel, you know. And you started that, and actually this action is very good. That's a great tip for anyone who is listening, is to actually write down what you actually want. Nobody has to see that. Nobody has to see that. Nobody even has to know about it. You just write. You're talking to yourself, because when you write, when we write, the difference between our thoughts, our speech, and the action. The thought is a thought. It's like when we draw a line in the ocean, it goes right away. Versus a drawing a line in the sand. It stays there for a while, our speech, but if there is no action that follows, the ocean will flow it away. Versus a stone, because that, or like a paper, writing on a paper, that's like etching in stone. So putting it down is creating a chain of abracadabra, create what you speak. So thank you for that. That's wonderful. So you were in New York and then you came to LA. And were you still doing graphic design here in LA?
Well, so there's a part between New York and LA, and that's Israel. So
I met that's right. The important.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Kishke.
Yeah, the Kishke. That's, I think, a strong connection to the relevance of me being here. Because thanks to, you know, when I discovered yoga in New York, along with my career, I was practicing almost every morning before work, and that helped me so much with anxiety and just kind of letting go of my ego and understanding that I'm just a service. We're all a service. We're all here to do a job. But to jump forward, I I met my husband in New York, and so that's what I wanted to. You're inviting me to share my story, so
absolutely, absolutely.
It's very nice to do that. Just when I was in New York, I realized how much I wanted to actually study deeper into yoga. So I went to India, Mysore, India. And there is when I then had it came to me that I want to go to Israel. I never had any interest. I don't have family, you know, direct family in Israel. We never spoke about Israel. It wasn't, but I had, I don't know if the word's premonition, but I knew my next big trip would be, I want to be to Israel. So that's where the seed was planted. And then, you know, I was still in back, you know, back to work, and my job was so supportive in letting me go for a month, came back to work and had, you know, this.
So here you are. You were at that time, did you have all, how many children did you have by the time you moved to Israel?
So I had my children in Israel. So in New York, I was single, working, and then met my husband, Danny, after living there for 9 years. And my husband and I lived together there.
And then, so then you were in Israel. So
yeah, we moved to Israel after we got married. 3 days after we got married in New York, we went to Israel. And there is where we, you know, then mother, you know, then I was studying Hebrew, going to Olpan.
How long did that take you? To study Hebrew.
Everyone in Israel, you know, wanted to practice their English.
That's right.
As I mentioned, everybody, I'm not the best student, so
everybody will talk to you English. Yeah, that's right.
Everyone, and I lived in Tel Aviv. You know, I would have loved to live on a kibbutz with, you know, Israelis who didn't speak English well. I probably would have. My Hebrew would have been much better, but we wanted to be central, so.
But here you are in Israel. You disconnected from what you know. You are in a new place. Did you feel you are on your direction because you moved to Israel? Did you feel that's it? Now you so to speak hit a jackpot and you got what you've desired. So now, technically, I'm just really putting it like, so now you're in Israel. And you need to go now. You had a goal. Was it really about the goal, or was now the expectation changing because you achieved the goal? So now it's something else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think I'm still finding my. I think we're always. Maybe not all of us, but I find that I'm always trying to bring myself back to the moment and to be grateful for what we have, because I think I'm a searcher. I'm a seeker. I'm looking all the time, like how to be better, how to reach my potential, as you mentioned yesterday, you know, I don't feel like, okay, jackpot, you know, this is,
I'm talking as far as like, for example, because you shared earlier that, you know, your understanding and your strong feeling was about creating a family and getting married. You know, so that takes a lot from your presence, because most of how you would operate would come from the purpose of achieving that dream, that goal, that point. So now that you're there and you're in Israel and you have a different life, how is that affecting the way that you look at yourself, at your journey, at how you're going to move forward? What's next?
What was next in my day-to-day life? It was just to become more and more acclimated. And, it was a challenge. I liked the challenge. It was definitely all new. It was a new beginning.
So did you find that in the world when you were in the graphic design, was there anything that hinted towards you being a woman in a certain world, your role as a woman? Did you have any clashes, any inconveniences, any things that pushed you maybe a little to question why you here, what is going on, you know, those kind of things? Did you experience any of that?
That's a good question. I Well, I think that being a woman in New York is a good place to be a woman, because there's a lot, I think there's a lot of women in New York, and well, for me, I felt like I was feeling empowered. I think I was becoming, like, growing into my own there. I think when I went to Israel, it was sort of like I had to build myself up again. Like, who am I?
Was it more comfortable to do it in Israel or in New York? I mean, naturally, probably because you're New York, but how did you feel?
Well, in Israel, I was finding out who, you know, what it is to be a wife and become a mother, and then acclimate myself into my family there on my husband's side. So, you know, I was so used to doing things on my own before living in Israel. So, you know, Israel, I think one of the big growths there is the intimacy. I think it's very comfortable to be a little bit more separated and anonymous in a way in the States. And then in Israel, it was almost like I had to be more real and more natural and more.
Well, that's because of the proximity. There is also a lot of everybody is closer. In Israel, everybody is close to one another, you know, closer than, for example, in LA. You know, in LA, it's very spread out. So there is no, I think it's close. I don't know if intimacy, I mean, you know, you're saying that, and there is much closeness because of space, but there is also a lot of distancing. There's a lot of distancing. And this brings to this question that the distancing, you know, I found that up until this coronic situation, we've been distancing ourselves naturally as we adapted to ourselves in our phones, in our tablets, not talking to people that we don't feel like talking. And now that we are forced into this, we crave that, because in reality, we do need that. We do crave that. So it created like a whole different meaning of how we connect to people, how we connect people at work, in school, for example, right? So one of the things that you've mentioned is that the homeschooling is something rather new, but it started a little bit before the corona. It started at the beginning of the year. So you kind of had a little preparation, like a soft landing, so to speak. How do you feel?
Yeah, a little head start. Yeah, who knew? Who knew that I said, okay, good thing I started early. You know, who would know this would happen? So, yeah.
So what prompted you to start homeschooling?
Well, like I said, my husband and I both did not, we weren't we don't have good memories of school. Like and then my daughter, as much as I loved the school she was going to, here, she, you know, she was complaining, you know, not wanting to go. It was like for years, it was like a battle to get her out of bed, you know, every day. And so at some point I listened to myself, you know, I also did some, you know, parenting work. I've done parenting work since my daughter was a baby, because, you know, I guess I give credit to the yoga, to at least I listen to signs. You know, I want my life to be not a power struggle.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a power struggle with my daughter. And so I stopped and I listened to her, and I said, okay, let's find another alternative. So,
how is this working?
It's working better than, you know, any schooling I've done with her before. She loves, it's just made the whole family more harmonious. It's kind of like, it's what I was dreaming of. I'm not saying it's all
that's
perfect,
wonderful.
Roses, but
no, that's wonderful because we're in a situation. Thing. Yeah. Sorry.
It's the right thing. We're happy with the decision. And my son, you know, I have a son too, he's younger, and he doesn't know the difference. He doesn't know public school, but I like it. I know there's so many ways to do it. It's very, as a designer, I like to think of it as like I'm designing our life in a way.
You are.
Do it. So,
you know, in Hebrew, it's called Akerat Bait, which in loose English, it translates to housewife. But what it means actually, Akeret Bayit means Aikar HaBayit. It comes from the source, the seed of the matter, which without that, the house doesn't function in the creation way of things. So it is a design. It is a design to, it'll be interesting if you could use one of the AutoCAD applications to design parenting, right? You can plug in and you get everything.
Quite a complicated design. I took an AutoCAD class. Thank you. That's all going to interior design.
It's a whole
lot of practice.
So now in the corona, okay, so let's talk of family. Family in a corona. So how many are you in one house now?
Four.
When was the last time that all four of you were in this kind of time together for this length of time?
Yeah, never.
Do you talk about this? Do you recognize this kind of situation? This is happening. How are your kids? Is it helping? Let's put it this way. Do you think that your kids are in a better position than others because they're used to be at home and they're used to study at home versus others that are in school and going out and classes? And I'm sure your kids also may have some other activities, but how are they adjusting?
I think they love it. I think most kids love it. I don't think the kids are complaining. I think the parents are. I think a lot of our standards on, to quote Jimmy Kimmel, thank you, Mac, for babysitting our kids. You know, where I've loosened up on screen time. I think it's a universal confusion, this whole screen time. How do you handle it?
You mean the screen time, the control of the kids on the computer?
Yes. Games and... So I started to, pay more attention. What are they looking at? Why are they so many hours on Minecraft? And my son, he's crazy at Minecraft. So I signed him up for an online Minecraft class. So I feel like, okay, at least he's getting sort of the structure of a class, even though he's not, even though it's still Minecraft and he's with other kids and there's some socializing.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter, she's talking to her cousin in Israel almost every morning playing Roblox. So she's getting her Hebrew, because that's also very important to our family that they get their Hebrew. So, they have a Hebrew also class now on Zoom, and the classes they've been in have gone to Zoom. So we're quite busy actually Monday through Friday.
You find what to fill your time with, but the kids themselves. So they enjoy that. Do they express any things that are different than maybe they would have in regular situation?
My daughter's expressed she definitely misses the seeing her friends in real life. Mm-hmm. She misses that. I know my son misses his friends. But they also like being with us. They've expressed that. I think the togetherness, like you were talking about it does force us to kind of make use of our home and be grateful. We're so lucky that we have the space. We have a patio. We have a lot of grass outside. A lot of people have apartments. We talk about that. Like, we always lived in apartments until now we live in a house, a townhouse. So even my husband and I are like, we're so happy we have a house during this time. That helps a lot. We do talk about that with the kids. We talk about how grateful we are for our home, for our health. And we live in a community. It's like a gated community. We can walk. So it's so nice. The neighbors are coming out. Everyone's out. The kids are riding bikes.
So there is no social, everybody walks around, goes around with a big circle of 6 feet around them.
And different times of the day, but now it's just the last few days, it's starting to get hot. So, last night we went out and the kids were all excited. They saw a cockroach in the middle of the street. So they were like all excited. about this cockroach, and it was keeping them busy, and you know, as the sun was setting, so it was nice outside and people were walking, and the kids go around on their bikes. And
so now there are new things that are being introduced, right? And many of the things, like, are you still graphic designing?
Not so much. I luckily, fortunately, I can just focus on the kids. I'm still getting in the swing of it. It's my first year of homeschooling. I want to get it down really good, and well, in a year or two, I'll bring in more.
Mazel tov.
Yeah.
You know, the kids are. I find that the new generation, the kids are relating to relationship different than we did, relating to others in different ways. Do you think that they, do you find them also very social by meeting one another, or they're more social remotely? Like, it feels like it's kind of okay for them to be remotely, because anyway, they are meeting remotely.
Yeah, they grew up with these, you know, devices. They're ahead of us. I mean, my daughter's editing, you know, she's doing editing and Photoshop work that I studied in school for, you know, years to do some of this stuff.
Right, right.
These apps that they can, you know, edit and filters and, you know, these things that I would do by hand. And so I think they're learning a lot of skills. I think this technology is going to, if we support it and talk about it as like how it can take them, like coding, you know, like our kids mm-hmm. can be learning coding now, and mm-hmm. They can do anything they, I mean, I think ahead of the game with what
they're ahead of the game in the sense that their capacity to receive and to process, and it's almost they have, these are called like crystal kids or indigo kids that were born like in the mid 90s, in the 90s and forward. It's like the new generation, they're evolved. They have what we've been trying to, we've been working on for years to achieve. They're born with it. You know, yeah. they're born with it. But what I was asking about this remote, it's like before the corona time, before the corona started, it's like they've been remoting anyway. I mean, even if they've been sitting one near the other, they've been on the phone and they've been playing on the phone in group with everybody else that sits in the same room. So they've been remoted. And now in the corona, they're, okay, great. So now we are remoting. So it's kind of, they are born with almost like a different concept or a different understanding of how to relate to one another. Do you find it?
I agree. I mean, I'm conflicted. I think as parents, I know with myself, I stop them. I want them to have the people skills. You know, I worry that the kids are too much talking to each other on screens, and it is social. And I love when they create, you know, they organize their own Zoom talks and they're very creative with it. I still loved when we were kids that we would have games let me find things around the house. Let's play restaurant and actually write things down. And like my daughter's making a store on Roblox with her cousin, you know, it is a nice opportunity. They're playing with their cousins wherever they are in the world, but I still have to stop them at some point and say, okay, find things to play that is not, where you have to use your imagination and work a little bit, you know, because there's a lot of sitting. So, I mean, physically, I don't know how healthy it is.
This separation, this relation to people and not being close to people, is affecting. And then if you're far away from somebody, you know, and you don't agree on something, what's the easiest way to do?
Yeah.
is to hit the disconnect button. And great conversation, and great, you went to all these places and nothing happened. Nothing, it was achieved, because it's all virtually. It's all virtual. So you have a website that is called tranquilbliss.com, yes. Right? Tell me about it. Yes. Tell us about it.
I like to create. So I was between my graphic design. This, you know, I started this website how many years ago? Probably 15 years ago. After I went to India and still living in New York. And when I was in India, I did my yoga. I had like these delicious meals at these homes where they would.
So you were there for how long? You went there for how long?
A month.
You went there for a whole month.
Yeah. And then, so they had beautiful textiles in India, which probably most people know, and like silk and wool and just beautiful fabrics. And
why did you go to India?
To practice with Kuntabi Joyce, who passed away, and was the grandfather of Ashtanga Yoga. So I discovered Ashtanga Yoga in New York through a teacher's training there.
Mm-hmm.
And after practicing, I said, I want to go to the source. I want to go to Mysore, India, and practice with Kuntabi Joyce. And that was really life changing. Loved that trip. It changed me in many good ways. Mm-hmm. Which kind of brought me to this. I was getting clothes made. You could bring in a suit. You could bring anything, and they could duplicate anything. Like just as beautiful as any designer. You know, any high top designer. So then, one of the Rashinkar Emporium was this one textile store that I spent quite a bit of time with, and I'd come and look at the fabrics, and he and his wife would give me a chai, and so he suggested, "How about I have an eye pillow here? This is from silk from India."
Uh huh.
And I was having duvet covers made and tablecloths.
That's cool.
Yeah, and so I think it was his suggestion. You know, how about some eye pillows? Because he knew I was into yoga. A lot of the yogis went to the
yes.
Yoga. Yeah. So I had a bunch of these made, and then I ordered more. I was selling them just kind of for fun. I would set up my little apartment in New York as a store and have chai. I came back from India. You know, when you want to keep those things when you travel, you incorporate it into your life. So I started with selling these eye pillows and now I make these toners, which are just really good for your skin and, refreshes you.
So what's in the toner? What, for example, what do you have in that?
So this is pH 5.5 water. Our skin is between pH 5 and 6. So when the water's the same pH, it's very hydrating and softening for your skin. So I have this water. And then I infuse it with essential oils. So this one.
That's
like
wonderful.
Aging.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. It's like a hobby. You know, the more time I would put into it, probably the more successful it would be. But
well, you put it out here for people to enjoy, and it's time like this. It's more important to use something that is natural, that is coming from the source, and not something that is chemical. Because we see what engineered things can and are doing and are causing.
So you are
a family. You take care of the family. You take care of the house, and your husband is working and is what?
He's a filmmaker.
Yeah, he's the filmmaker, and does documentaries usually, right?
Yes, but he's on to features.
He's on to features now. He left documentary.
He's writing features, and he wants to be. You know, he has a real great Jewish niche, like Jewish film festivals, Jewish or Israeli film festivals. And he wants to add or move more into being just a filmmaker, not like a Israeli Jewish.
Yes,
filmmaker.
Yes. Yeah. So throughout the time, but he was doing documentaries, and documentaries, we know, I know some people, is really a lot of work. Why? Because you really, you're just waiting for things to happen. It's not something that you orchestrate. You have a timetable, you have a schedule, you have a budget, boom, boom, boom. You do what you need to do. This can take a long time. I know I'm still working on this. It's like a long time.
Yeah,
so And then you find yourself, do you find yourself a lot of alone? Did that kind of occupation and doing the kind of work that he does, how did that work with you? I mean, as a couple?
Well,
if you want to share, you don't have to share, but
no,
I'm
just trying to, I'm trying to give some, straightforward answers because, they're big questions, you know. It's, so first of all, we're both quite independent. Since I met him, I knew that he was doing that. So I never stopped him. I am okay being alone. Like, he was traveling a lot. So I joke that I kind of, it's a little easier sometimes when he's gone because I have full control over the house and, mm-hmm. you know, a little less cooking and a little less cleaning when he's gone. But he just brings so much energy to the house. He's like an engine. I mean, he really, mm-hmm. I tried to help him. I thought that working with him and helping him kind of book screenings, or help him with website, I thought that would be a great mixture in, you know, taking care of the kids. And but I found that we've discovered it's better that I don't. And he's very supportive of me just, you know, that now, like I said, this year of just homeschooling the kids and moving forward, focusing on that. Our relationship is separate and together. We have to make dates. We can go days with, not days, but we can go like the full day almost without talking.
So now everything changed, kind of thing, because now you are, as a family, you are in one place all the time.
Yeah, well, he doesn't really have an office, so he's kind of, he likes to bring, the way he works is people that he's close to, he likes to have them around. He's not someone that needs like to be alone in a room. So it's, you know, it hasn't changed so much except that he was traveling a lot. Yeah. All his trips were canceled. Mm-hmm. Like,
so now he's home. So that's good.
So he's home, and it is nice. And we're working it out. You know, I have to let go of some control too. You know, I have to just, you know, we all live here together. So we're growing and we're working all the time on just, you know, me taking care of myself and letting the kids be and letting him be. And then also making a point saying like, look, let's go for a walk. Let's talk, because he's still very busy. I mean, he, you know, like you said, he's initiating his projects. He initiated a quarantine film festival. So right now, every Sunday he has a talk about one of the films he's done. So that's been really,
that's good.
Yeah, he brings together the team from like years ago from movies he's made, and he has them, you know, they all talk and they open it up to, you know, it's free.
Oh, that's good.
So he's keeping busy, and I'm, you know, we're all busy, but like you said, yeah, we're together. We're definitely together more, and it is relaxed in that we're not driving, and he is home all the time. I mean, he was traveling quite a bit and now he's here. So, yeah.
So let me ask you a kind of, off question. What is the what is your Q profession, the C profession, the Corona profession that you would like, that you really would be nice to have at home? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, what is like, oh, like a hairdresser or a body worker, or what is the best Corona profession?
Like what I would want to be, or
like now in as a family that you are in the house, to have somebody of the family members. What is the best profession that family member could be that is very helpful during this Corona time?
Oh, to have like what kind of professional we would want to have in the house?
During the Corona time, like, is there a specific? What would you like to have? What is so urgent and you would like to have in the house?
I would love someone to like stand by my side and teach me how to garden, because I attempted to make a little garden. I think just like as somebody who knows more than I do, like I want to do everything better. Like I want to garden better. I want to, you know, we still have our housekeeper coming, which really helps. And when she comes once a week, I just concentrate on cooking, and I just like everything is, it's just like a beautiful day. So like having somebody like just sort of another pair of hands, you know, just play with the kids, you know, teach me the tricks. Why is my Swiss chard not growing, but the radishes are, these questions. Yeah. So I like doing lots of things. So I don't mind doing all this stuff. It's just nice sometimes when you don't know how to fix something or make something work better, you know?
Yeah. So as a mother and before the corona started, you were probably involved, or you know other mothers and other family members that are handling the house and handling their how things are moving. Is there something that you would like to see? Like, what do you think will stay the same? Like, we are now in a time where we are forced to be at home, quote unquote, but then it becomes comfortable. So many things will become comfortable. Like when people realize that they can do work from home, and when people realize that they don't need to go shopping very often, they don't need to drive the car to that meeting, or they don't need to go here or there, or there are classes that will be online. How much from that do you think will remain? Like, will people give away the comfort?
I think so. I think that overall we want to support each other's businesses. I hope that we'll stay in touch with, I like these opportunities of Zooming with groups that where you can't drive. Like, I joined my mother's Chabad Torah and Tea group the other day, and that was so nice just to be part of, you know, her group.
How did you do the Seder?
We did Zoom with some friends. We had our own little Seder.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was funny though, because half of it, you know, it's like technical difficulties, like trying to get the angle right, and oh, they dropped off, and so it was a little distracting, but it was also really beautiful because you see that everybody wants that connection. Mm. So you need the human connection.
Yes, absolutely.
We'll go back. I think it's important to make a point to see people. I thought with this quiet time, and you know, in general, it's a quiet time, that I would be catching up with all these, you know, people in my lives that I really miss, and I just always found myself too busy, you know, like we all are, running and busy to be in touch. And I enjoy this quiet. Like it's amazing how much I think we busy ourselves, that it's like I feel like every week there's still so much to do at home, and there's still this like decompressing, I feel like, from the world. So it's even now I feel like after what it's been a month or so of being home, that I want to reach out more and connect more with friends, because it's nice to have that quiet and that kind of like introverted, you know, you kind of need to be very social when you're going out into the world, even when you don't realize it.
Well, yeah, and it can be scary, you know. For some people, it can be scary to be socializing in a close proximity, you know. Mm-hmm. So this also helps people to come together in a different way. We're creating a different meaning of this medium of connection. Thank you so much, Miri, for joining and for sharing your experience. It is lovely to have you. It's already done. It's already gone.
That flew by. I was nervous.
That's okay.
An hour. Thank you.
That's okay. No, thank you. Thank you. I have to tell you that every time I start a program, I have butterflies from all kinds and shapes are flying. It always happens. It never stops. When that button is being pushed and we start, everything dissipates, everything goes away. And so I realize that many times our thought is what's keeping us, keeps things maybe scarier than what they really are.
Yes. Well, you present, it's a wonderful show you're doing. And
God, and thank you. Thank you. Yeah. It's for everyone. And thank you for being here and for sharing. Miriam Mankin, thank you. And for you, for all of us, for all of you, thank you for being here. Remember that flame. that flame that is not gone. It's still there. And so sometimes to do something that just to get our body movement going, to get something going, to move from that place, and then things will start working in a circle again. Thank you. Have a wonderful week. And I'll see you next week and soon. Bye, little.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.